The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Bird's Eye View. I'm back. I'm Jesse. I'm joined by Mike. We have a special guest here, Howard Herman. I had strep throat. I still technically have strep throat, which is why I wasn't here last week.
That's why he's on the other side of all the computers and everything, far away from us.
Yes, yes. Well, I am. It's day 8 of antibiotics, so
you're no longer.
I'm no longer
contagious.
No longer very contagious.
But it's like I said to him before. I said to Jesse before we went on. You have small children. Hmm. I'm around small children occasionally, and he got strep throat.
Sure, I was around my family, and there were some children.
Okay, but it's just kind of, you know, because I actually never, when my kids were little, they never contaged, making up a new word.
For me, when I was that age, I did not get strep
my
throat.
My kids have had it when they were younger, but they never passed it along to their parents.
That's what I'm saying. When I was younger, did not get it, and did not get lucky this time around. It was
It is not fun.
It's horrible. It's really horrible. It's painful to swallow. Your throat hurts the entire time. It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, except the square peg is the size of your fist, and the hole is your throat, and it feels the size of a toothpick.
And you can't sleep.
Well, you can't sleep because it hurts to swallow. Yeah. You know, it's like the entire time. Yeah, no, I probably slept.
So then you wake up and you're tired and the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it was terrible.
Anyway, thanks for Siobhan for coming in last week. Siobhan Lemmy was with me for the first half of the show. We previewed, obviously, Boston, the marathon on Monday, and everything they have coming up, Steel Rail.
Actually, I did hear
Mother's
you talk
Day
a little.
Race.
I heard you talk track because I was on my way to urgent care.
That may have been second half, yeah, right after,
with,
yeah.
Strep.
Yeah, so that may have been right after. Yeah, because we had that week was, we had three track meets get rained out. So
right.
I did up the honor roll just to kind of see where we were. we had had what we've still, I believe, just had one dual meet has gotten in so far. There was some sort of odd kind of fun little relay invitational last weekend, but that didn't really
are there a lot of regular dual meets, because I can remember a couple of years ago coaches started talking about wanting to have everybody show up at meets like on a Saturday instead of having dual meets, because they wanted them to be more like what used to be, what is Western Mass and States and all that. I don't know if that's changed or if that was ever a thing.
There's a small handful that is an idea of, yeah, let's have let, because you improve more for track, you improve more with training versus performance. so yeah, that is a method, but typically there should have been three dual meets, or not dual meet, they do try, they invite, yeah, you know, three, four teams at each of these, but there haven't been any yet. All those got pushed.
Yeah, we've had like
I think there's two Monday that'll be next.
We've had like
not
two,
the end of this Monday.
We've had like
Monday,
two nice days this week.
Yes.
I think this is the first.
Yesterday was beautiful.
These have been the first back to back pretty to very nice days we've had all spring.
Yeah, and today should be it's going to hit 70 by the time we get to the afternoon games, where we have
I think it's going to be closer,
where we have,
yeah,
a bunch of fun, hopefully fun, a bunch of, I guess, meaningful games. But yeah, just wanted to recap real quick that Boston happened. Lennox's Ted Yee, once again, comes up as the top kind of local Yee guy. He's not local anymore, but still out of college at Northeastern, and a Lennox grad. He beats out Alex White by just a hair once again. And we had, I think, 15. We wound up 15. 15
I think
or so,
so
finish,
yeah,
finishers, because we had one coming in late. Another, Danny Orlando, who ran.
Whose name I remember.
Yeah, I believe same grad year maybe as Ted Yee, out of Wakona. She's running out of Boston now, lives out of Boston, but ran her first marathon. So lots of cool stuff there. And I just want to recap what's coming up. May Day races will be a week from Sunday at the Dalton CRA. And then we'll have the Mother's Day women's race on, I believe it's like May 12th this year. And then
the Steel Rail
will be,
are you ready?
May 18th. I'm leaning two different. I'm wobbling. I might just cover it this year. I got this kid is not allowed in a running stroller yet, so I'm kind of in a jam of my time, training-wise. And, yeah, I also have a bachelor party that weekend in Atlantic City. So there's a lot of variables hindering my training right now for Steel Rail.
Would you say that participating would be a gamble?
It would be.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But that would leaves open for anybody who's a member of the media. The media division might now be open.
It could. I don't think I wasn't setting a high bar for that division.
I imagine if Amanda Burke got in, she
hasn't done that one, I don't think. Or she did the full last year.
Full,
yes.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it open to others potentially. I still might just show up and do it. Like, I mean, it's two hours of your time.
You could do the 8K.
Feasibly, yeah. Yeah. Couch, yeah. Why not?
Mike isn't going to do some wimpy 8K, but he's also not going to do something crazy like a marathon.
Absolutely not. No, we talked about this last week. No, yeah. I will say, once you hit Patriots Day around here and you hear all the stories, you see all the coverage, and you're just like, it would be cool to do it, to kind of get out there and do that whole thing, cross that finish line, no matter how long it takes, 4, 5, 6 hours, whatever. It'd be cool to do it. I think it's very tough to do because you have to either raise a ton of money, which Daniel Orlando raised, I think, about almost $8,000, or you have to hit a qualifying time, which is not really in the cards for me. unlikely. but I will say, it's a cool thing to be at. I was at it a bunch as a younger person. And yeah, there's like 3 days there every year where you're like, yeah, I'll do it, and then you
lay down and realize that it's
then
not
I'm like
smart.
I don't have time to train for that at the moment. Maybe, yeah, 40th birthday or something like that, maybe. But yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, we'll move on from the sports that are happening.
Yeah.
So it's been, I don't know, I'll kick it off a little lacrosse, just because we've had some interesting county lacrosse to start the season. Wacona lost its first Berkshire County game on the boys' side in years, lost to Lenox.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very, very close game, 7-6. Lenox scored with a minute left to win that game. Very much felt like a game where Lenox had some vets who knew what to do when the game was on the line, and Wacona's very young, and they didn't. You know, Lenox is the two go-to scorers in Luke Gambaroni and Kitson Stover, and that made the difference. And then on the other hand, Lenox, flip side, they get that huge win, and then they lose to Hoosick Valley, and it's not a very close game.
Is that a surprise?
So yes and no. It turned out Lenox was missing a lot of pieces. I think that, you know, various school trips and stuff like that, kids are out. And so, you know, their bench usually is 8-9 kids, and their bench was like 2-3 kids.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, it's like, all right, it's not surprising. On the other hand, you know, most of their starters were there. Stover was there. Gambaroni was there. Brody Ballard was there. Jeffrey Larman was there. I think Bronley Boyd was there. Like, all their main starters were there. So it's like, all right, you know, I know you're not getting much breather, but you're all here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hoosick led 5-1 at half, right? This wasn't like it was 2-2, and then just because Lenox is getting gassed in the fourth quarter, they won 9-4, and they were up 5-1 at half, and Hoosick took him to the woodshed. You know, Owen Taylor completely dominated the faceoff circle. I don't think he lost a single faceoff in the first half, and then in the late third, early fourth quarter is when they took him out, and that's when Lenox started winning a couple faceoffs, and then they put him back, and he won them all again. And so that was really the game, is that Hoosick just completely controlled it. And that was a little bit of a shock, that Lenox couldn't just get the ball on offense. Hoosick would get the ball, and they'd set up shop, and they'd have the ball for 4 minutes, you know? And it's like, all right, well, eventually you're going to score just because you had the ball so much, or you have so many chances. So Hoosick, I think, really has kind of now entrenched himself as maybe the best team in the county.
Owen Taylor is an interesting guy.
Right,
because
he didn't go to Greylock.
Yeah, and Greylock has a team, and he elected to stay with a couple of his Greylock teammates with Husek because they had played, you know, their entire career over in Cheshire instead of going back to Williamstown and playing with the young guys, who are going to be very good, by the way.
And the Husek coach, Jacob Anderson Hall, he understands how lucky he is that Owen State. He's like, yeah, you know, he's a special player. He's why we are able to do what we can do. And yeah, you know, if you get the ball 10 times out of 11 from the faceoff circle, you're gonna win. You're gonna score. You know, Kamari Kastner had a great game. He had 5 goals, scored from long range, good, made some nice plays defensively. Jaden Tatro was very impressive, scored a few times, had some nice passes. He's stepping into his brother's role. That's Jake Manchin Hall's words, which are kind of funny because Caden Tatro played one season of lacrosse, helped him with the Western Mass title. Now Jane's stepping up. I thought he had a very nice game as well. Brady Auger had a good game. But yeah, it was just kind of controlled win from Husek. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they play in the rematch. Dave Hilfinger, the Lennox coach, was pretty confident that this was not a good showing of Lennox when they're back to full strength. It'll be a different game in the rematch. But, you know,
because
need to play better.
Hasn't Lennox been like the bar for the last couple of years?
Take out Wakona.
Yeah.
You know, they were at the higher level. But, yes, it was still Lennox. Lennox and Husek did split in the regular season last year. And then Husek beat him in the Western Mass, which was, you know, the big upset. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that Husek beat them isn't a shock. The fact is that it was how they beat them that was a shock to me. And, you know, yeah, like, the reinforcements better be huge because, you know, when they play again, they'll be at Lennox or they'll be at BCC. But, you know, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch for sure because I could easily see Husek going 2-0 against Lennox. Because Husek is a veteran team too, and they're looking to defend their Western Mass title. You know, I think the only thing really was penalties. They did not keep their head at several moments in the game. They could have won 9-2, and they won 9-4 because of it. But yeah, other than that, it was a very comfortable wire to wire win for Husek Valley.
I can mention real quick on the girls' side that there was kind of that similar level of thing where Wakona beat Greylock, which was not something I saw coming. Beat them 11-9. Wakona had a little 3-game win streak, and then not a win, but impressive is that they hung with South Hadley. South Hadley coming off the Class C title last year where they beat Husek. South Hadley only beats Wakona 13-9 out at South Hadley, so there will be a return game there. And Wakona now 3-3, which doesn't, you know, isn't any great shakes, but
they've been pretty rough the last couple of years, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, coming on strong this year, and to beat Greylock, Greylock is in the middle of, they play a very tough schedule, but they are not winning a lot of games right now.
Greylock seems to be in a rebuilding year.
Yeah, so Greylock, I believe, hosts Belchertown today, and we'll see what happens there.
I think Belchertown is winless, so this should be a potential. This should be a win for Greylock. But yeah, no, it has been odd because a lot of the teams that you think, okay, Greylock is better than, they have either struggled against or lost to. And it very much feels like a rebuilding year. Like, this is a young team. You know, they've lost a lot in the last 2 years to graduation. And so, yeah, I think they're just taking their lumps.
And the biggest issue with girls lacrosse this year is that Husek doesn't play either of them.
Yeah, it's odd.
And so we can call Husek the best team, which I think pretty clearly they are, but they don't get to prove it against Greylock or Wakona, which is bizarre for whatever reason. Husek did lose their first game to, I believe, Amherst, actually. But bounced back with an 18-15 win.
And Amherst
last
beat
night.
Greylock in the Western Mass semifinals last year.
Okay, so yeah, Amherst is pretty good. Husek bounced back. They beat Central in a high scoring game. Husek going through right now. Jacinta Felix is out with an injury, so they had Marion Capiello step up with 7 goals yesterday, and she's kind of switched from defense to offense to join that kind of triumvirate, if you will, and clearly filled in perfectly fine. So,
and can we suggest that it's really good to see her doing that because
moving
of,
fine, yeah.
because of the injury she suffered during basketball season?
Yeah.
That it obviously lacrosse movement is different than basketball movement. So it's been as she gets healthier, it's still easy.
Yeah,
easier.
Yeah, grass and turf always very much more forgiving than a hardwood basketball court.
Especially because you have to stop and you stop and start sure. so quickly in basketball, and you don't really do that, in any of these big grass sports.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a little break. We will be right back. Would like to remind everyone that the PCTV and WTBR present Eats a Pizza May 15th at Berkshire Hills Country Club. Pizza places include Shire Tavern, The Locker Room, KJ Nosh Catering, Porta Villa Italian Eatery, Papa John's, Papa Joe's, and Suzuko's Family Restaurant. Tickets are $20 for adults, $10 for age 12 and under. It's available at pittsfieldtv.org/pizza. Support comes from Cohen, Kinney, Valicenti, and Cook. We will be right back.
Where does democracy actually begin? Well, it begins right here at home, at our local city and school meetings, the place where really big decisions are made that affect you and your family directly. With good TV coverage, these decisions are transparent, our residents are well-informed, and elected officials are held accountable. Without reliable coverage, these decisions go under the radar. Support PCTV's local meeting coverage today. Pittsfield Community Television, democracy starts here.
Join us for Up on Taconic, a weekly show that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Explore the world with conversations including the culinary arts and other CTE programs. Hear students and teachers discuss the importance of reading and also take a look at the vibrant arts culture in the school and much, much more. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. for these lively discussions right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Welcome back, Bird's Eye View here, Jesse, Mike, and our guest, Howard Herman. We talked some running, some lacrosse. I think we'll move over now, talk a little softball, a little baseball. Softball-wise, It's been an interesting start to the season in Berkshire County. Hoosick Valley and Lenox seem to have kind of distanced themselves somewhat. I think Monument and Wakona are kind of in a tier two right below them. We'll see. Wakona might be better than the first two, but I don't think they'll play. Wakona plays a better schedule, even though that's why they have more losses. Pittsfield's is odd. They're off. There's something off about the Pittsfield Generals. Lenox, not surprising that they're very good this year. I think perhaps one of those additions you just can't quantify is the return of Haley Armold, who was gone last year, played the year before that, and now she's back. She's the catcher. She's a good bat, and those are all great. But she's a senior, and she's a senior captain, and she's a multi-sport athlete, and for a team without many seniors, in fact, she might be one of two. That kind of
he's a big fan.
Hank is a big fan. Yeah, he's agreeing with me. That's a huge addition. Just somebody who kind of when you need everyone to calm down, calms everyone down. When you need to fire people up, fires people up. Just a veteran, just a calming presence, a true leader. And that's something that's really, really hard to quantify, but you can tell the effect from that, because last year it's a talented team, but it's a very young team, a team that can get very frazzled, and they are much, much more cohesive this year. And part of that is because they're older. They're mm-hmm. older, they're way more experienced, the coach, Amy Pyers, talks about, we got eighth graders, and we got seventh graders, and we got a freshman all starting, and it's like, all right, well, the freshman's Evelyn Giuliano, she's a three-year varsity player. All right, I'm not treating her like a freshman at Wakona or Pittsfield, all right? It's a very different situation.
I can read you her game yesterday that was kind of unreal. They found a way to get to 7-0, beat Lee 4-0, despite Bree Lynch, I think, striking out 12 batters.
Yeah. Which is kind of, unfortunately, the story of Lee this year. Yeah. That Bree Lynch has 12, 14 strikeouts and things don't go well.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm looking at Lennox. But Pittsfield, for whatever reason, just they're missing that kind of leadership.
Pitching aside, the two most important positions in softball are catcher and shortstop. And
I mean, isn't that just for everything, baseball included?
But I think in soft, because of the smaller field and a lot more bunting to get hits, and also the leadership factor. I think those two positions. In baseball, you want to be strong up the middle, and that starts behind the plate, goes to shortstop, and goes to center field. And I don't know in softball if that's quite the same, but having a really veteran shortstop and a really veteran catcher especially is incredibly important.
Yeah, that was my point, is that, you know, it's the fact that she's a good catcher is almost whatever. It's the fact that she's a good leader is what's been so big. And for Pittsfield, yeah, it's just there's something off about them. They're very talented. They clearly have a lot of very good players, but they are not cohesive. And they don't have the energy. They don't have the juice that they did last year. And last year they had some big leaders. They had some good leaders. And I don't know if they have that this year.
How veteran are they?
They have four seniors. They have like another four juniors they should not be what they are. Like, they should have won the Longmeadow game. They absolutely could have beat Lennox. And they committed errors. And they kind of, didn't. In that game, like, Lennox came in and they were fired up, and Pittsfield never showed that much energy, and that's where leadership comes in. It's like, guys, get it together.
That's where having a JV program might help.
That too, but it's like the easy throws to home to the home plate. To get somebody out stealing. It's like it's not that the throw's late; it's the throw's 3 feet over the catcher's head, right? And it's like that's how a bunch of runs came in. Until Pittsfield figures itself out, to get prosaic, until the heart of the general.
Pittsfield's one of the few teams that doesn't, quote-unquote, necessarily need a JV team, in the sense that the girls' softball program in the city is so strong. And they should have a JV program. I mean, it boggles my mind.
That wild difference boggles, between playing Longmeadow in a varsity game and playing
it
at
is,
Doyle
but,
Field
but you're talking
in
about,
the 12U.
But you're talking about JV team. Well, we were talking about JV team.
Sure.
That's a large step up. That JV team is still playing Longmeadow.
This is true. That part is true. But at least, if you look at some of the other places, if you look at Lennox, we talked about Lennox, talked about Monument. The youth programs don't exist or are pretty meager.
All the Lennox kids play.
The youth
play
program
Pittsfield.
Is varsity.
The youth program is varsity, and the youth program is Pittsfield.
Yes. But
plays for her dad. Mark Yara Jackson plays at Berkshire.
Monument. The first day of practice, Monument coach Scott Annan says, "This is a softball. This is a bat," because their kids are not. They don't play softball down there to the same extent. And it is interesting how, Dalton has a good program. Pittsfield has a real good program. Adams Cheshire has a pretty good program. And those are traditionally where your better teams are.
Yeah, Greyluck does, actually. They just the pitching is still a bit of an issue. They still have not been able to find a...
They lost 23-16 last night. Yeah. They were up 12-2.
Well,
8-0 in the first
inning. We've talked about this a lot. You can't play prevent defense late in that game.
No.
You have to attack.
Yeah. So Huzik is 8-0. Lennox is 7-0. Both got there last night. Huzik just kind of hitting the... crap out of the ball.
They were a great hitting team last year. They brought everyone back, so it's not a huge surprise they're a great hitting team this year. Here, the thing for me is I don't know if either team is a real threat in D5, just because they have good pitchers. I don't think they have elite pitchers. When they play a Greenfield or a Turner's Falls or an English, they're going to be in trouble. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle Western Mass, how they handle States. That'll be a really big test for them.
I've seen enough soft. You don't necessarily need elite pitchers to be really good. If your defense makes play, if your pitchers throw strikes, and your defense makes plays, win games.
No, but that's the issue: is that you put the ball in play enough against those teams, they'll make the errors for you. Give credit to Lennox. Pittsfield put the ball in play a lot, and they made all the plays. But even still,
Lennox. It was technically a no hitter by Lennox yesterday. Giuliano pitched the first six, and the other girl pitched Cassidy Flynn.
Who's also from Pittsfield.
Pitched the final inning. They made no errors. They won 4-0. They only had three hits in the game. Obviously against Bree Lynch, that's generally how things go, unless you're, I guess, a Hoozick. real quick. So Giuliano struck out five, did pitch five walks over six innings, no hits allowed. Giuliano, 2-for-2 out of the leadoff spot with an RBI, five stolen bases, three runs scored. So they had three hits. She had two of them. They scored four runs. She had three of them. She walked to start the first inning, stole second, stole third, stole home for the 1-0 lead. Ava Johnson walked in the third. Giuliano singled her home, later scored an error. And then top of the fourth, she set down Lee in order. Leadoff single in the sixth, she scores an insurance run on a McDonald double, which is kind of a wild solo game for her.
Which is the thing. You love to see those kind of games in softball. Yeah, and I think that's one of the few sports where those kind of games really happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a 1-on-9 win. Was kind of wild. But yeah, Hoozick blows out Ludlow to get to 8-0. They've just been kind of tearing up everybody at this point. Monument, I did see yesterday, was out at Amherst, where we saw Avery Vail Cruz. So you can you can find that somewhere. Monument was coming off a jury loss. And they did lose to Hoozick earlier in the year. And their problem with getting to that next level is just the errors. They just can't kind of keep it tight enough in the field. I think a large part of that is, so last night they had Maya DuPont pitching instead of Andrea Paul, which moves Andrea Paul to shortstop. And she's a very, very good shortstop. She made like a lot of the plays that they had in the five-inning game. And that's kind of got them back going. They will play Lennox Tuesday, I believe, so one to keep an eye on there.
Or maybe Monday. In any case, let's get the Tuesday. Reason that Howard's here is Pittsfield and Taconic Baseball play later today.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And
for my money, Pittsfield should win this 10-0.
I don't...
that was my question for Howard yesterday, was is this going beyond five innings?
I mean, like, the fact that Pittsfield crushed Westfield was a huge to me.
Westfield isn't quite the team that it has been. They had a bunch of graduation. They lost a bunch of guys to graduation. But
we're still 7-1
Some of it's going to depend, and we talked about this last time I was here, is who's on the hill. Unlike the sport we were just talking about, where the pitcher... you know, can pitch every day, or in the case of the college game that Mike and I were at yesterday, former Wakona star Avery Vail Cruz got the win in the opener and got the save in the nightcap. That doesn't happen in baseball very often. Jay Cody threw a complete game, five inning game in the win over Westfield the other day. And on paper you're right, but the other day Wakona got belted, and James Rabuse, who threw a perfect game the week before that, gave up five earned runs in five innings. So if the pitchers in that game don't have their stuff, we could be there till like 9 o'clock at night. On paper, Pittsfield should win, but that's why, you know, it's cliche to say that's why you play the game. I don't know who's going to throw for either team, and that's probably going to determine who wins.
I mean, well, I thought Wakona was kind of okay. I wasn't as high on Wakona as you guys were.
Well, no, but it's not. But it wasn't a question of it's not
guy,
a high
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
When your best pitcher, who might be the best pitcher in Western Mass, or certainly one of them, gets rocked, it happens.
Yes. No, I mean, my thing for Pittsfield Taconic is that Pittsfield just 1-9 they can hit, and Taconic 1-9 cannot. You know, it's kind of has some good hitters. Pittsfield has a lot of really good hitters. Because I think pitching-wise, they both have pretty good bullpens. And I'm less concerned about, if you knock out the starter, they have good replacement. But, you need your eight hitter to get on base. PHS, I have no questions about that. Taconic, I do. So I think if this is a close game, Pittsfield can eke it out, Taconic, I don't know.
I'm a pitching guy when it comes to that. If whichever team pitches better wins this game. And it's it. You know, that's, I know guys swing bats, but good pitching always beats good hitting.
Yeah, I will say Pittsfield has scored over 10 runs in all of their games, but the West Springfield lost 5-4. So they, yeah.
And you know they're going to be ready for Thursday, for this mm-hmm. game, Thursday. Yeah. They're going to be ready. They're going to be out, because as players told me after the Westfield game, they were pretty embarrassed by the loss to West Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
That they just didn't play, didn't play well enough. And I don't think... It's education, it's school, you learn your lessons and you do your studying and you learned that you can't, put 70% out there.
Yeah, so I'll say, yeah, tonight a big game. They will host West Springfield on May 7th, so next Friday, a week from tomorrow. So a couple big games to look for with Pittsfield. Is the offense better than last year, or is it, obviously the Nick Brindle loss is big. But have they kind of filled that hole well enough?
Well, it doesn't matter because we were out of time to talk about that. So thank you all for listening, for tuning in. Like we said, Pittsfield Taconic later today. It's at Collab Park, right?
No.
No, sorry. It's at Taconic High School. So thank you guys for listening to Bird's Eye View, and we'll see you next week.